What's going on with everybody? This is the Bad Take Podcast. My name is Luxury Nas. I'm with Rachel. Today's episode, we're basically going to talk about like how we do what we do, because a lot of people have been asking, like, you know, how do you guys travel? Are you guys rich? Do you have any sugar daddies, any sugar moms, or, you know, whatever? We're going to mix in the Philippines with this as well. We're going to talk about dating. We just got a lot of things on the roster, so definitely stay tuned. Back to you, Rachel.
Yeah, cool. So let's start off with some travel updates from around the world. Okay. Sorry, my document's loading again.
No, you're good. I think that we should... I think that I should have asked you, because I feel a little bit rude. How's your day today? And how's your week? And like, where are you right now?
Yeah, my day today is good. It's 2:30 p.m. right now. So I've just woke up, been to the gym, had some lunch. That's it, really. My week was good. I'm looking forward to this weekend because I'm going to London for Notting Hill Carnival. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. So you're probably going to see some of that on the Instagram. So I'm still in the UK. And you? Had enough of India?
She said it because I was in India, I think, for about like 6 days, because I had went there to get the Meta glasses. And it was just crazy. Like, I got sick. It just felt like everybody was just staring at me everywhere I went. And it was like just, I don't know, I had trouble when it came to like immigration, when it came to the check-in table. Like it was so bad, the fact that they made me pay for a personal item. Like, how does that even make any sense? You know? So right now I'm in Thailand. It's perfect.
Travel news in the U.S., the U.S. officials have bumped Mexico's travel advisory up to a level 2, which is exercise increased caution. So resorts are still fine, but just be extra mindful in non-tourist areas, especially after dark. I think I actually read a news article the other day that said that Mexico is classed as the most dangerous country right now to visit for tourists.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I feel like when I was in Colombia, I don't know, like, in Asia, you could kind of, you know, from experience being all over Asia, you know, you feel comfortable walking around. In Colombia, I didn't. Like, there was this one girl as well. She told me, she said, you know, because she went through my Instagram story. She said, wait, you went there? You're just walking around? Like, you shouldn't be walking around by yourself. And I'm like, wow. She was talking about, like, gangs and, you know, all types of stuff. So, I believe you.
Also, U.S. tourist visa changes. So applying for U.S. tourist visa just got tougher. Applicants now need to submit their last 5 years of social media accounts. And anyone who is applying for a student or an exchange visa, your accounts must be made public. If you've posted or shared any content which can be classified as anti-American or anti-Israel, your application can be denied. And they're doing this by using an AI-based catch and revoke program, which will flag certain things on your social media, and you will automatically be denied.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's not visa good call? Because...
No, go ahead.
But yeah, it's just not good because, you know, that's another form of censorship. You know, it's one thing for somebody to make a post and that post get removed, you get a copyright strike or anything like that. But, you know, I don't even know. It just sounds stupid to me. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense overall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, since when did sharing posts or speaking your mind become a threat to anyone?
Yeah, being silenced. You know, I thought, you know, this was, you know, the land of the free, home of the brave, you know, freedom of speech. You know, how did we get to this point?
Yeah. So as well as that, visa costs are also going up, with a $250 integrity charge being added to the usual cost. I think the usual cost is $180, so $250 is added onto that. ESTA fees are jumping from $20 to $40. Further tourism numbers are also slipping. In the first half of 2025, data showed that inbound tourism was down by 22.5%, with over 3 million cancelled trips to the US. And cities like Las Vegas are seeing the hardest hit on that. What's kind of crazy as well is, obviously, and as you know, about how I got denied entry into the US and deported, which is a whole story. But when this actually happened, I made a very brief TikTok. It was like a TikTok trend, maybe like 10, 12 seconds of a video, where I'd put on there, you know, thought I was going to be spending the summer traveling America, but instead I spent 15 hours in airport prison and deported back to the UK. And I put this up on TikTok back in May, and it got maybe about 1,000 views. In the past 7 days, I've had 3,500 views. So clearly people are searching on TikTok about being deported or traveling to the USA or something, because it's so strange after like 3 months for my views to suddenly go up on that video.
I just think like right now I'm working on a video. It's called Why I Decided to Leave America for a While. And I think that, you know, everything you're saying right now is a part of that. One of my reasons was because things are becoming too political. And what I mean, by that is, you know, if you're going to the store or, you know, you're going to the gym, it's like, it's just politics everywhere. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like, you know, friends, it's like you can't really speak your mind about anything. And it's just very dangerous in America. Like, you know, people are just too divided and it's just not good. So I can imagine if me as an American feels that way, I can imagine, you know, the people that's trying to come into this country, how they feel. So, Sorry, I got the nervous jitters.
I think it's definitely putting people off, or it's making people like rethink visiting the US. I mean, clearly, since, you know, there's 3 million canceled trips in 6 months. So obviously people are concerned. And it's also like, you know, it costs a lot of money for me. Like, obviously, I was flying from the Philippines, but, you know, just for, like, my flight and, you know, my insurance traveling to the US is the most expensive insurance I've ever paid for, probably because your healthcare is so expensive. So I lost a lot of money when I got denied entry. You know, I didn't get any of that money back. So I think maybe some people are thinking, is it worth it?
Wait, so... Because I've heard the story before. So you didn't get reimbursed for the ticket or the insurance?
Nothing.
So
no, I got no money back.
Is that something that you spoke to them about, or did you revisit it afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, it was something that I did look into. Flight was non-refundable. Insurance didn't cover my situation. So, yeah, it's just, I have to just take my L, I guess.
I mean, it's like that. You know, but I just feel like when it comes to airport in general, airports just don't give a shit about giving nobody a refund, you know, and it's like you can't argue with them. You know, they'll kick you out.
Also, last thing for the U.S. So gas prices in the U.S. are averaging $3.17 a gallon. And that's the cheapest summer rate since 2021. So I guess that is a rare win for road trippers.
Yeah, that's really good. Like being in Virginia, yeah. I'd say like 2020, I think it was like $1.09. Then I'd say like 2023 going into 24, it was about $5, which I don't think Virginia ever seen $5. You know, it was like you paid $50 and you go down the street and you need gas again. So, yeah, it's great.
I mean, I looked at this the other day, and obviously in the UK, we do liters, not gallons. But I did like the conversion, and we pay double the price for a gallon than what you pay. So we pay about $6 per gallon. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think you guys, money is worth just a little bit more, right?
Yeah, I think it's $1.4 to the pound. That's on the US. Aussie travel trends. Australia's travelers are ghosting the US with 25% fewer visits and swiping right on Japan, New Zealand, Fiji, and even China. But Bali is still, of course, their favorite destination. Mm-hmm. Moving into Europe, over 150 wildfires are burning across Greece, including popular islands like Zakynthos, alongside a heat wave of 40 degrees Celsius or 110 Fahrenheit. So if you are going, just follow the local alerts closely.
110?
Yeah. the CDC has issued a level 2 health alert for the UK, Germany and Spain due to rising polio cases. So before you do go sipping sangria or pub hopping, make sure your shots are as up to date as your passport. Anyone who doesn't know what polio is, it is a very old disease that we've pretty much eradicated. Seems to be making a comeback, probably because people are not getting vaccinated. So yeah, just make sure you have your vaccinations. And then in Southeast Asia gossip, so border tensions between Thailand and Cambodia have led to new mine incidents, and travelers are advised to avoid land crossings in affected zones. I know a lot of backpackers in Southeast Asia usually go from Thailand to Cambodia either by land or by slow boat. So, you know, if that is you, just, you know, check which zones are affected so you can stay safe. And in the Philippines, there is no active tropical cyclones right now. Volcano hiking trails have begun reopening with some restricted areas. Cebu Pacific is adding more domestic flights. Plus, they're boosting Manila to Melbourne services later this year. And Indian citizens now get visa-free entry with direct Delhi to Manila flights being discussed. So that's the news.
It's not bad, because I was actually in the Philippines. I think it was like July. What was it? I think it was like July 18th. That's like when it started to get kicked up a little bit. Like, I think I got in the Philippines, it was like July 8th. It was cool. Like, it was sunny every day. Then towards like the 18th, it just started raining every day. I ended up getting an ear infection. I started getting sick. It was just a terrible place to be. I was just so happy when I left. But I want to let y'all know the Philippines is my home. I love the Philippines. Great people, great food. But that rain, man, I had to get the fuck out of there. So, yeah.
Yeah. I got to the Philippines in the end of March and I left the end of May. So I was there for 2 months. And when I was in the islands, when I was in Palawan, there was a few days where it did rain pretty heavy. But in Manila, it very, very rarely actually rained. But I remember there was 1 week, maybe towards the end of my stay, where it was thunder and lightning for a whole week, but there was not a single drop of rain. Not a single drop of rain fell from the sky, but it was thunder and lightning for a whole week. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. So I'm guessing after I left, that's when the rainy seasons come in and the typhoons.
Oh, yeah, that was your sign right there. Book your damn ticket. Yes. The lightning in the sky was forming. That was your sign. And you was lucky. You know what? So on to our next subject, which will be the main one that everybody keeps asking us about. Every time I get on Instagram, every time I make a post, I get this question. How do we travel? Now, I'm not going into my whole financial situation because I know y'all care about that, but it's not nobody's business. But I'd say, where do you want to go with this conversation? You start off. Like, how do you travel, Rachel?
Well, I have been traveling my whole life, to be honest. As a child, you know, I went on family holidays once a year. My older sister actually worked as holiday rep around different countries in Europe, so we would get discount on traveling. So I've always, you know, traveled. When I was 15, I went on a school trip to China That was my very first culture shock. That's probably what inspired me to travel like I do. And then as soon as I turned 18, I started traveling as much as I could. And first, you know, I was quite a safe traveler. I would go to the resorts. My first solo trip was to Croatia when I was 20. And back then, Croatia was still quite a new destination for people. It wasn't too flooded with tourists at that point. I had 250 euros, my backpack, and a one-way ticket, and I had no plan. The whole thing was very much, I just went with the flow. And then at the end, I think I was there for maybe days, and then when I ran out of money, I flew back home. And then from then, I got a taste of solo travel, and then I just continued to travel. And then the year actually before COVID, so 2019, I did 10 new countries that year, five of which I did through Interrailing. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, in Europe, we have a very good rail network, especially mainland Europe. And you can actually purchase a number of different tickets. So for me, I did 5 days within 30 days. So for 5 days within 30 days, I could travel on any of the trains within pretty much within mainland Europe. Ticket cost me £200 because I was a young adult. You know, I was under 30. I still am under 30 when we're talking about, but yeah, that was £200. And I did five countries. So I did a lot of Eastern Europe. I did Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Slovenia, Hungary. And then I finished in Italy. And then I flew back home. So I did that over the course of 3 to 4 weeks. I only had £1,000. And that £1,000 covered my hostels, my food, my activities, my transport, everything. So the whole trip only cost me £1,200.
£1,200. Yeah. That's basically the equivalent of $1,600 for us in America.
Yeah. For five countries is really good. And I did all the touristy stuff you can think of in these places. So in Poland, you know, I did Auschwitz. In Hungary, I did the thermal baths. I did the castle. In Italy, I did Rome. I did Pompeii. I did all the touristy things. Within that budget, I think I set my budget at like £50 a day. And that included my accommodation and everything. When I travel, I stay in a lot of hostels, not all the time, especially as I've gotten older. I'm 28 now. And I've been traveling for so long. But hostels, you can get really cheap. You can get hostels for like £5-6 a night, like $10 a night. Really cool hostels as well, especially if you're traveling alone. Like, people are always, I think a lot of people are like, oh no, I've seen the movie Hostel, I'm not staying in hostels. But hostels are actually really, really cool. Like, yeah, you're sharing a room with someone, but you can get private rooms in hostels. And the best thing about a hostel is the social aspect. They usually have events on most nights. They'll have some kind of communal area or a shared kitchen or, you know, just somewhere where you can meet other travelers like yourself. So sometimes I stay in hostels, not even because it's cheap, but because I want to socialize.
Are you using Airbnb or are you just going to these places and just, hey, you know, I want to book this room? Like, how are you getting to these hostels?
Okay, there's an app called Hostel World. And you know what? This is actually a very, very good app, and it's gotten so much better over recent years. So Hostel World is just for booking hostels. But a good thing about this app is when you actually make a booking on the app will automatically put you into a group with everyone who's staying at your hostel during your dates. Mm-hmm. And then it will also put you in a group with everyone in your city who's staying in a hostel through Hostel World in a group as well. So then you can use these chats to actually meet other people. And I've used this numerous times, where I've met people through Hostel World app. You know, you throw in a quick message, anyone want to go out and grab drinks tonight? most people are traveling solo. So most of the time, you're going to have someone reply to you, if not all the time. So Hostel World is a very, very good app, and it's a free app.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy, you know, separate from the hostel thing, I never knew how many people were solo traveling until I jumped into this world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know until, like, you know, you jump into this world. Like,
yeah. You know. And I think also it's because, like, when you travel solo, you end up meeting people who are in the same boat as you. Whereas, like, I feel when you travel with friends or you travel with a partner, you don't really meet solo travelers. But as soon as you are solo, you see them everywhere. And it's because you just naturally because you're all in the same boat and a similar mindset, you just naturally kind of gravitate towards the same places or to each other.
Yeah, and it's kind of like this lost look, like when you're in public and it's like you looking around and it's like, you can kind of tell that person don't know what they're doing either. You know what I mean? So it's like a good way to start a conversation. You could just feel it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess back to like my travel journey in COVID, obviously I didn't leave the UK for 2 years. And I think that's the longest I've gone without leaving the UK. And it was killing me, I'm not going to lie. So after COVID restrictions like eased and we could travel again, I left and I traveled for 3 years. I would fly back and forth to the UK because I was in a long distance relationship, but I didn't live in the UK. So I was actually working a remote job, which allowed me to travel easier, especially within Europe, because, you know, the time zones are only an hour, 2 hours, maybe 3 or 4 hours maximum. And last year was my second year of travel. And I actually traveled to a country called Georgia. Georgia, the country, not Georgia, the state. It's in Eastern Europe. It borders Russia and Turkey. Okay. And I was there for 4 months. I volunteered to teach English there. That's another thing. Volunteering will get you all over the world. And you can volunteer in absolutely everything. There is a really good website called Workaway. You do pay like a yearly subscription, but it's worth it. It runs worldwide across all continents. You can work everything from farming and agriculture to working in hostels to helping people build like sustainable, like eco huts or like eco hotels, surf schools. I mean, you can volunteer to work with animals in animal sanctuaries. It covers everything you possibly think of. And you volunteer in exchange, they will provide you with accommodation, they'll provide you with meals, and some of them even will give you payment as well. So also, if you're traveling with a friend, you can set up a dual profile. So there's two of you on one profile. Sometimes like hostels or like companies, they're looking for a duo volunteer, two people who can come at the same time. So really use that to your advantage if you want to travel cheaply.
And I could kind of see that too, you know, it'd make it easier if you got two people that already know each other. Versus, you know, you're just taking somebody and just matching them up in a room with a person they don't even know. So that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. I've used Workaway a few times. I used it in Albania to volunteer in a hostel, which was a really nice setup for me. I worked the afternoon shifts. I did 4 days a week. I did the evening shifts, but it was very quiet in the evening. I was just checking people into like into their rooms and stuff. And I was, because I worked remotely, I was just sat working on my laptop. So I'm working and I'm also volunteering at the same time. So that allowed me to travel around Albania. Another thing that I do that has helped me travel cheaply is house sitting. When I tell people this, they're like, what? People pay you just to look after the house? People will pay you.
That's a really big one. Because I got a friend right now that traveled all over, you know, the UK, all over the place, you know, just off sitting. So she's not lying about that. You really could travel just off that.
That is actually what I was going to be doing in the US. I was going to be house sitting for a couple in South Carolina for 3 months. So for the duration of my stay, and they had like two cats and the cats even had like automated feeders. So all I had to do was make sure feeders were filled up. And that was it. And I would be looking after this huge, house at the foot of the mountains. So, that saved me so much money because accommodation was going to be my biggest expense in the US. So that really would have saved me so much money had I gotten in.
Listen, all my US people know 3 months in the US traveling, what? You would be broke.
Like, yes, exactly. So,
basically, the way I travel, I'm not going to go into my financial situation. But, you know, first off, I say for the people who don't really travel, the people that want to get into this, first thing is you need to get your passport. And I'm not really sure how it works in the UK, but in the United States, all you really need is about $240, $260. You go down to the U.S., what is it? The USPS, United States Postal Office, and just pay that tab. You really just need your birth certificate, driver's license, or ID. Once you get that, you wait about 2 months, you get your passport in the mail, boom. So the next thing that I would, biggest piece of advice. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm gobsmacked that in a first world country, that is how you get your passport. That's crazy. Yeah. You're waiting 2 months.
Well, that's if you pay expedited, which is like an extra $60.
And if you didn't?
So they got, I think they have 4 to 6 and then 6 to 8 weeks. So if you pay expedited, it's 4 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to wait 3 months. Trust me, the shit is never gonna come.
Yeah. In the UK, you can actually apply for a passport online. So you submit, you even do your photos with your phone. Like, you don't need to go down to any kind of office. Yeah, it's all done online. You submit all your forms online. You don't have to have a license or anything. It's much, much quicker, much simpler. And then obviously we have different types of passport, like depending on how many pages you want in your passport. So like for me, I have the 10-year passport with, I think, 20 pages because I get a lot of stamps. And then it takes about four weeks maximum. But to be honest, you can get it within a week.
Yeah, I mean, well, in the United States, right, like the whole passport office, everything is basically backed up. So, well, they say it's backed up, but I don't think my voice is messed up. It's still messed up from when I was in India. So if y'all can hear me and my voice sound kind of off. Huh?
I feel like you've gotten sick in every country you've been to.
Well, not Thailand. I feel like Thailand has been good, but India, oh my God, it's like my allergies came back. Like everything was just destroyed when I went there. It was just very unsanitized. But yeah, you can actually get your passport next day in America. Like, let's say you have a plane ticket or some type of emergency. All you have to do is go down to the passport office. You know, you show them the ticket, you explain what your emergency is. They'll print it out the next day. So you can actually skip it like that. That's a hack for y'all. But far as how I travel, I'd say when I went to go book my first, let me go back to Colombia. I had booked a ticket and I went with a friend to Colombia for the first time, I think that was the first time I ever been out the country. That was the best time I ever had in my life. Like, you know, I've been to Vegas. I've been to pretty much all over the United States. But I think going to Colombia was so different, and it just changed my mind. And it's crazy for me to say that, because it wasn't like I went to the Philippines, you know, where people could kind of understand me. Here, I couldn't understand what nobody was saying. And then the fact that I couldn't say words like trash, you know. So if I had trash, I had to carry a bunch of trash in my pocket because I didn't know how to say basura. I didn't know how to say it. Like, you know, there's certain words, you know, in Spanish, you just need to know or you're going to be screwed. You know, like the word go or the word wait, you know, just certain words, you know. So it was the best time I ever had in my life. And when I went again, you know, it was really cool. And after that, I was just like, look, I think I want to just travel. So basically, I went and bought a one-way ticket and I just said, fuck it, I'm going to the Philippines. And you
why
know,
the Philippines? Why was that like on your radar?
Because I have a childhood friend that's actually from the Philippines, and that was just a place that he always told me about.
Yeah.
He always told me about the Philippines. So that's why that was the first on my list. But when I booked the ticket, it says something about an onward ticket. You know, you may be asked at the desk or you may be stopped or something like that. So I was like, what the hell is an onward ticket? And it's basically because I'm buying a one-way ticket, they want to know, okay, at some point, are you going to fucking leave or are you going to just try to hide in this country, you know, or whatever. So I came to Rachel, which is amazing. And she explained to me what an onward ticket was. It's basically a website where you can put in the information. They'll basically generate you a fake ticket. You know, so you can show that ticket at the counter. They'll say, okay, you know, because like Rachel said before, being a creator, sometimes you don't know how long you're going to be in these countries. You know, you might decide right to go to a different country. Your whole itinerary could change in like a day. So,
yeah,
you know,
and that's the thing is like when you become a traveler and you travel, like you and I travel, You might not know how long you're going to stay somewhere. So this was a little bit of an issue I had coming to the US because they never mentioned at any point that I should have an onward ticket. Okay. And I was able to stay 3 months without a visa. Like on my ESTA, I get 90 days. Even when I was applying for the ESTA, at no point did it tell me you need to have an onward ticket. So then when I got to the US, I think they initially flagged me because they're like, where's your onward ticket? And I said, well, I don't know. I need an onward ticket, you know? Like, what if I come to the US and I want to leave in 1 month or 1 week because I hate it, but I have to wait because my flight's not for 2 months.
So they basically want you to pay like another $600-$700, you know, just to have a ticket. You might not even go to that place anymore. You could meet somebody, you could talk to another traveler, and you decide, you know what,
yeah,
I'm going to go to Indonesia or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened to me in the Philippines. When I was checking in, they said, oh, where's your onward ticket? And I said, I didn't know I needed one. And so they wouldn't check me in with my luggage until I showed them an onward ticket. But at the time, I didn't know about onwardticket.com. So I just quickly went on Skyscanner at the desk, just picked a random day to a random place leaving the Philippines just so I had a ticket to show. And it was for like, I think 3 weeks time to Malaysia, and I didn't even end up taking the flight. I actually extended my visa in the Philippines for another month. So that flight never even got used. So I understand that they don't want people like overstaying in the country, so they're showing a ticket, but then I can just ignore the ticket anyway. So it doesn't really make much sense logically.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just money. That's all it is. Money. You know, and I think onward ticket is so important because when I was in India, I actually forgot to do it before I left my Airbnb. And the guy was, and it was harassing me so bad at that check-in counter. They went and got like 8 different security guards. Like I had one guy right here, another guy right here, another guy over here, 2 check-in guys, another security guard right here, another one right here. And it was just like, all of this because for what, you know, but I'm not going to get into that part, but, I did the onward ticket. It took me about 2 minutes and showed it to him and I got the hell up out of there. Onward ticket is important. But aside from buying the ticket, onwardticket.com. Aside from that, how often do you use Airbnb versus anything else? Like, is Airbnb the only thing you use when it comes to you being out of the country, or do you sometimes use hotels? Because in my experience, hotels are expensive. So what's your method of finding somewhere to stay?
Okay, so in Southeast, it depends where I am. Okay, so in Southeast Asia, because first of all, some countries, they don't even have an Airbnb, right? Because Airbnb was, in a lot of countries, was, you know, messing with like housing prices and tourism. And so some countries have banned Airbnb and you can't use it for starters. Personally, I do like Airbnb, especially for a long stay. Like if it's going to be more than 2 weeks, I prefer to use Airbnb. If it's less than 2 weeks, I usually use booking.com. And I use booking.com because I think sometimes it's cheaper because booking.com take less fees than Airbnb for people who have the accommodations. And also with booking.com, I've had it for so long now that I think I'm like a level 3. So I actually get like 20% discount on everything that I book. Sometimes I get free upgrades. Booking.com is really, really good. I would say if you're looking for accommodation, look at both. Look at booking.com and look at Airbnb. But if you are in Southeast Asia, a really good website as well is Agoda, which is like the Asian version of booking.com, I guess. But you can get really, really good deals on there as well.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I didn't know that. Because usually I just primarily just use Airbnb. And like, let's say if you know, like a place is too expensive, usually I'll just message the host and I'll say, WhatsApp, because on Airbnb, if you ask the host, like, what's their number before actually purchasing, you know, the room or whatever, you'll basically get flagged. You can get banned from the app. So you have to be very careful when you're messaging these Airbnb hosts, you know, and what you're saying. So usually I just say WhatsApp and they'll send me their number. Then I'll say, hey, you know, if you look at my Airbnb profile, I've stayed at 30 different places. I have all good reviews. You know, I'm really good for it when it comes to staying in somebody's place. You know, I can give you my personal information, but I'm just trying to see if possible, I could get some type of, you know, discount. And the reason I say that is because Airbnb actually puts a lot of fees on the host and I'm losing my words because I'm getting nervous. The host and the guest. So basically, yeah, that's basically what I do. So I'm going to have to definitely try that out, Rachel, booking.com.
What you're doing is really good. Also, even if you do use like booking.com or Agoda and you see a hotel, you can always contact our hotel directly because, again, all these platforms take fees. So it can be cheaper to just directly reach out to whatever hotel you want to stay at or Airbnb, you know. But, yeah, so that's – I kind of just go with the flow, if I'm being honest. I don't really have a preference of – where I like to stay. It really depends on how I'm feeling. Like when I was in Thailand, in Bangkok, I stayed in an Airbnb, but then in Krabi, I stayed in a hostel. And then when I went up to Chiang Mai, I actually stayed in like it was out of the city in the mountains in like a resort type thing. It was like a little hut. So it really just depends on how I'm feeling, if I'm being honest. I usually now would, I used to use hostels because it was cheap and I was a budget traveler. Now I really only use hostels when I want to meet people. If I want to get my head down, I want to work, I go for more of an Airbnb.
Yeah, by yourself. Kind of like me right now.
Yeah, and I mean, in Southeast Asia, it's so cheap. It is so, so cheap. For a nice one-bedroom apartment in a good location and Wi-Fi and everything, £300-£400.
Yeah, $200, $150, it's cheap. So a lot of people are going to ask, because I don't want to miss this part, you know, how do you get around? You know, some countries have Uber, some countries don't. It really depends. It varies because, like, for example, kind of like we was talking about before, in the Philippines, you're going to use apps like MoveIt to get around. You're going to use apps like Grab. You're going to use apps like, I don't know anymore. what else do they use? Is it Bolt? I think it's called Bolt. They use that as well.
Yeah, I think that the two common ones, Grab, and then in the Philippines, it's MoveIt is for the motorbikes. They obviously do still have Grab in the Philippines, but Grab is just cars in the Philippines, whereas Grab in like Thailand, Vietnam, etc., Grab is the bikes as well. I personally use the bikes. I absolutely love being on the back of those bikes. I don't know what it is, but the amount of times I was in Asia and I'm sitting on the back of those bikes, and it's like just bliss. It's just like a feeling of blissfulness comes over me, and it's like you feel alive. I don't know. This is just me, but
Yeah, I
love the bikes, and it's like £1-£2 or less. Like sometimes it's like 20 pence to go a whole journey. And I like the bikes because you miss all the traffic because they're like swerving in and out the traffic. Love it. But I also hired a scooter. Yeah, I also hired a scooter a couple of times, especially in Thailand, especially north of Thailand. I hired most of my time there. I had a bike. And in the Philippines once, I hired a bike as well. Do you know, when I got to Thailand, obviously I'm from the UK, so we drive on the right. And everywhere else pretty much in the world drives on the left, I think, except for like Malta, maybe. When I was in Thailand, it took me like a whole 2 weeks to realize that they drive on the right as well. I remember driving my bike and I was like, hang on, this feels too familiar.
For me... That's what got me, like, when I first got to Thailand, because being in the Philippines and everything, everybody's driving on the left. So coming here to Thailand was the first time I ever seen people drive on the right side. You know what I mean? So when a girl came and picked me up, because, you know, I got chauffeured or whatever, she had went towards the passenger seat. And I was like, well, who the hell she got driving a car? You know what I mean? So I looked over and I seen the steering wheel on the right side. I was like, okay. Because at first I thought I was being kidnapped to set up or something, but yeah.
I don't know why it took me so long to notice. I guess it was just like blurred from my brain because it was just normal for me. But you can hire scooters, bikes in Southeast Asia for pennies a day, £2-3 a day. When I was in the north of Thailand, it was 150 baht a day. And what is that? Like £2?
£2, that's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah, you can even, if you wanted to, I don't know, move to Thailand for 6 months or so, you wanted a longer visa, you can do a monthly hire for like probably $50-$100 a month just for a scooter. So cheap to get around. So I pretty much always got bike. Very rarely did I get a Grab car. If I was traveling cross country, for me to save money, I opted for night buses, which is another way if you want to travel cheaply. I did it in Thailand. I did it in Vietnam. I actually traveled 23 hours on a night bus there. And, you know, it's actually pretty cool, you know. It's I seen videos online where it was like really like packed and people were sharing beds with someone, and that's not the experience I had at all. I had my own little bed with curtains and a plug and a little table to put my food on and pillows and blankets, and it was lovely. It was more comfortable than getting a plane, I would say. So
it's crazy because in the United States, right? Like that method of transportation in the US would be very unsanitary. So you're basically saying it was nice for you.
It was nice, yeah. When I did the one in Thailand, I can't remember where I was going now. I think I was going from Bangkok to Krabi. I think it took about 15 or 16 hours. That one, I actually had a meal service and snacks and drinks given to me. Yeah, it was better. And I had leg room. My seats reclined on the feet and the head. And it cost me, I think, about £11. It was really cheap. And I had better service than I ever would on a flight.
So I want to basically go into apps a little bit, because there are certain apps that you will need. Like for me, I use an app called Currency. Currency is basically a good app to where you could basically see the differences. Like as we're talking right now, I'm using Currency to basically tell the difference between British pound and, you know, US dollar. Like she said, £2, that's $2.70, 70 cent difference in the US. And another app that I use is ChatGPT. There are just some things you could go on Reddit. You could try to find out about that country. You're not going to find it right there. Sometimes you can go to Google. You're not going to find it. You can go to YouTube. You're not going to find it. But ChatGPT is sometimes just on point. So that's another one. And mainly
I use ChatGPT as like a search engine at this point.
right, because it's so detailed, right?
Yeah, and you can be so specific with what you want. Whereas when you do it on Google, you then need to look through the search results to find exactly what it is you're looking for.
Because I feel like chat will ask you questions and it'll help you get to that answer. You know what I mean? And I'd say, of course, I use Airbnb. And the last thing has to be the translator app. And that could pretty much be any translator app. It's never going to be exact, but yeah, that's basically what I use. Depending on which country you go to, like when I went to India, right? In the Philippines, you're going to use Grab. You're going to use Move It. But when you get towards India, you're mainly going to be using an app called what is it called again? It's called Rapid. You're going to use Zomato, kind of like if you were ordering food for like DoorDash, you would use Zomato. Then you have apps like my mind just went blank. It's so many different apps, but the whole main point is each country, it depends. Different apps for each country. Just got to ask the locals and, you know, just figure out what you like best and whatever.
Yeah. My most used app when I travel, I kid you not, is Google Maps. I rely heavily on Google Maps, and sometimes I feel like I rely too much on Google Maps, because I remember when I was in Albania, I did not know that Google Maps did not work in Albania, and I did get lost. I ended up an hour away from where I actually was supposed to be, and I ended up hitching a ride with an Albanian family to get where I did need to be. But I have directional dyslexia. You know, some people can drive one journey and they remember it and they can do it on the way back. For me, I will do a journey 5-6 times and I still will not remember it. So that's my downfall as a traveler. That's my weakness as a traveler, is my navigation. So I do rely on Google Maps a lot. So when I don't have Google Maps, I really struggle. Also, a lot of the apps you said, you know, Grab, Move It. Also, Grab Food if you're staying somewhere for a long time. Like when I was in the Philippines sometimes because I was working. Like the Philippines is so hot. Can I just mention that? Because I have never been to a country so hot as the Philippines was when I was there. And I've been to some hot places. You know, I've been to Dubai. I've been to Africa. But the heat in the Philippines was just something else. So I would avoid going out during the day. And so sometimes I would just order food in. And so Grab Food is also really good for that. Grab Food. Move It, Agoda. As I said, Agoda is really good. Airbnb, booking.com. I actually don't have the translation app. I genuinely find it to translate. I just quickly Google English to Thai or English to Tagalog. But to be fair, in the Philippines, everyone speaks English. Obviously, volunteering is one of the best ways you can travel and fully get like the cultural experience that you want from that country. After that, house pet sitting. Best place to find house and pet sitters is there is a website called trustedhousesitters.com. I think it does have a little bit of a sign-up fee, but you can find a lot of people through that. But me personally, I use Facebook groups. There are so many Facebook groups. You can just search house sitting Asia, house sitting Colombia, house sitting China, wherever you want to go, there will be a group. And people are always looking. Sometimes it's just a short sit for a week or two. Sometimes, you know, people are traveling for months and need a sitter. And sometimes people are looking for a house exchange. So you could find someone in the country you want to go to and you swap houses for a week. I think there was a movie about this. I forgot what it's called. But that exists. Low-cost transport, like I said, going for buses and night trains instead of flying places. Remote working jobs. So this could be things like a virtual assistant. I know remote work is very hard to find now, especially now people are going back to working in the office and stuff. But I actually once worked as a ski rep for 1 week because I'd always wanted to go skiing, but I couldn't actually afford to go skiing at the time. So I took a ski rep job for a week. And not only did they pay me and provide all my accommodation and meals, but they also paid for my ski lessons and the equipment.
See?
You can also do things like working on a cruise ship. You can do, you know, seasonal jobs. You can go to places like ski resorts and do seasonal jobs there. You can go to places like Ibiza, Greece, Portugal, all these places and work just for the summer. There's always jobs like this. I did something similar in Spain for a summer where I actually worked there on a camp. And then the last thing is an exchange of services. If you have a skill, could be photography, videography, catering, building things like construction, these skills people are always looking for. And you can actually, again, use Facebook groups to find people who will give you accommodation and other things, meals, in exchange for your skill, for providing them. I guess it's still kind of like volunteering.
Yeah, I truly don't think y'all realize she is giving y'all game. Like, go back and re-listen to that part because, no, seriously, you giving out game because I remember being on an application where I could basically see, you know, kind of like you said, the ski resorts, they had that, you know, in Japan, like where you could basically, they'll give you housing, they'll put some Japanese yen in your pocket, you know, and you could still go around, travel Tokyo, Osaka, do whatever you wanted. You just had to perform, you know, whatever duties they, you know, asked of. I even seen something in Australia for like a wildlife rehab and stuff. You know, like feeding the animals, you know, if you have some type of like, you know, doctorate degree or whatever, you know, you could go out there and do something like that. She is giving y'all game. Like, re-listen to this.
Like if you have some kind of like sports background or yoga instructor, there's wellness retreats will take you in. Like there's just endless possibilities. And the biggest one, which I'm going to finish with, is if you speak English as your first language, I don't think you realize how far that will get you. Because all around the world, people want to speak English. English is the business language of the world. Not only can you do it online and travel while you're teaching online, you can volunteer, not just in schools, you can volunteer on summer camps. Even in the US, you guys have a summer camp for teaching English, you know? So it's everywhere. English will get you far because they always want English teachers. And you don't need to have a teaching qualification. You just need to be a native speaker from the US, the UK, Ireland, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand. If you're a native speaker, it won't be hard.
I was literally just about to say that, because you can really just get you a TESOL certificate or something like that. You know, it's really that simple. Yeah. You don't need to go 4 years in college, you know. The standards, everything is pretty much lowered for us. Yeah. I mean, for us. I'm not sure. Certain people, check your country. But for us, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's all my tips. Yeah.
It's not all of them.
No sugar daddies. That's
all we're going to give on this episode. No sugar daddies. All right, so yeah, so that's pretty much it. I feel like I don't want to give away all of our nuggets. You know what I mean? We got a lot of hacks. Trust me, this is just the first episode. I'm still kind of nervous a little bit. I have a lot of information to give. I have a lot of people I want y'all to meet. You know, same as Rachel. She's been everywhere. Like me, I'm like a puppy dog in this game. Like, she's the big dog. Like the Rottweiler, you know what I mean? Like Pitbull in this game. I'm telling you, don't sleep on Rachel. Rachel is the shit. Listen, I'm telling y'all. Rachel is the big dog in this game. So next episode, we're going to have a guest. We might have a guest. Don't know if that's definite, but it definitely will be about the Philippines. Any comments, Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, well, I kind of want to leave everyone with a bit of a story time to tease into our next episode. Ooh. Of the Philippines. It's a okay. Bit of a juicy story. Get your teacups ready. So I don't want to give too much detail because I am writing a book, and all the details of the story are going to be in the book. So I can't give too much away. But basically, I do like to date as I travel. And I think maybe you can say the same. Especially
don't throw me into that shit.
Where you can change your location. It's just a really fun way for me to meet people as well as I travel. Sometimes I'm not always staying at hostels and being in groups with people, so sometimes I like to date. And so when I was in the Philippines, I did that, and I did date a Filipino for a period of time. I want to say probably about 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. I'll be honest, he initially really raised the bar for me in terms of dating. He was a neurosurgeon. And he was very, very respectful. He was very happy to, like, you know, he would come and pick me up, take me out, drop me back off, never tried to make any kind of move on me. I think I remember after like maybe 2 weeks of us hanging out, I remember saying to him, like, you know, I brought up the conversation because it was strange for me to be dating someone for so long and they haven't tried to even like put a hand on my leg, you know?
That penis gotta be little or something. That penis gotta be little. He like, look, I don't want to scare her off. I could take my time. That penis had been little. See, she's smiling too. Shit was little, wasn't it?
I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. I never got to see the penis. But you know, he took me to lots of different restaurants. I actually learned most of the things I know about the Philippines through him, through what he taught me. And like I said, he was a neurosurgeon. So he worked pretty much 7 days a week. He also taught lectures to his students. So he was a very, very busy person. And he was also on call for any kind of head injuries, which is usually, from what he told me, is either a stroke or some kind of like road collision that results in like a head injury. Those are like the things he'd be on call for. And even with everything that was going on, he still found time to text me. He still found time to hang out with me. And, you know, there's some people who I've dated who barely even have one job, and they're too busy to even text me back, right? So I'm sorry, no man is ever too busy if they want to talk to you and want to see you. No person, not even just men. So that's why he raised the bar for me. I never paid for a single thing the whole time. Every time we hung out, he never even expected me to pay. It's probably more of an insult if I tried to make a payment. So that's why he raised the bar for me. So we'd been dating, and then after about 4 or 5 weeks, he goes on a scuba diving trip. That was his hobby, on one of the other islands in the Philippines. And I had extended my visa just before he left. So, you know, it was like, when he comes back, we'll hang out again. We'll do some other things. And then he came back and he'd gotten sick. So he had to take some time off work. And then because he had to quarantine, because obviously he's a surgeon, so say he can't physically go to work because it's too dangerous. So he had to take time off work. So I didn't see him for about a week after he got back. And then he went back to work, but now he had a backlog, right? So he was very, very busy. He didn't really have time for me. And over the next couple of weeks, we arranged to meet a few times and he kept canceling. And I think after the third time of canceling, that's when I started to get a bit annoyed. And I remember I called my friend back in the UK and I was telling her, you know, I'm so annoyed. Like, he's canceled 3 times now. So I'm like venting to her. And at some point I had mentioned his full name. Okay. So I come off the phone to her. And then about 2 hours later, she calls me and she says, "Have you ever Googled his name?" And I said, "No." And this is crazy because I'm a crime junkie, okay? I studied forensic psychology. I love true crime. I literally listen to it every day. And the fact I'd never Googled this man's name really shocked myself. Yeah. So I said, "No, why?" She then sends me 2 links to 2 news articles. I open the news article. It says basically something along the lines of boyfriend, main suspect or person of interest in the murder of a woman. Okay, so I'm reading.
Whoa! Oh! Rachel!
Yes. I know. Hang on. So I'm reading these news articles. And what it's basically saying is the guy that I'm dating is the person of interest or the suspect. And he and this woman had gone out for dinner. This was in 2019, December 2019, okay? They'd gone out for dinner. Apparently, he was actually having an affair with her because he had a girlfriend at the time. He was having an affair with this woman. And they'd gone out to eat. They'd gone back to the car park, gone to their separate cars. And a gunman had come and shot her with a silencer in the head twice in her car, and she was 5 months pregnant.
That motherfucker did it. A silencer? A silencer, that means it's personal. Execution. That's a direct hit.
Execution style. And like I said, she was 5 months pregnant. She hadn't been robbed or anything like that. So robbery had been excluded. In the Philippines, guns are legal, by the way. People do have guns, just like in the US. So this is what it's saying, okay? And it's his name, his job, his age at the time, the exact workplace that he worked in. I'm sorry, but there can't be 2 people with the same name, the same job, in the same place, okay? Definitely he's a neurosurgeon. There isn't many of those, okay? So as I'm doing more digging into this person, I find a Facebook news article as well. And the comments on this news article, you know, people were like, it was him. Like, apparently the brother of the victim had said that he was the father of the baby. And the person who he was actually with, his actual girlfriend, now in 2025 is his wife. So
that motherfucker did.
Not only is he married. Okay, so then after this, I'm like, wait, this can't be him, because I've spent a lot of time with him and I never got this vibe from him. But then in that moment, I started to reflect on conversations we'd had. And he had told me, you know, it's the Philippines is very corrupt and it's very easy if you have money to pay your way out of things. You can pay off judges, you can pay off police officers, etc. And he had actually told me that he had paid off a judge before. And I remember I asked him, like, oh, what was it for? And he said a speeding ticket. And now at this point, I'm thinking back, why would you pay off a judge for a speeding ticket? Would you not pay off a police officer?
Yeah, but listen.
So?
Listen, you're still paying. You were going to pay for it. Listen, people don't pay people off. You wouldn't pay somebody off for a speeding ticket. That's stupid.
Especially a judge. Right? If you're paying off a judge, it must be for something a bit more serious, surely.
A speeding ticket wouldn't cost the same amount that you would pay a judge. I mean, it would cost the same amount. That's stupid.
Yeah. So now I'm paranoid. Now I'm in the Philippines and he knows where my Airbnb is, which room I'm staying in. I'm like low-key paranoid because as I'm like going over this in my head, so I was still talking to him like normal because I'm low-key like I want to ask him. Yeah, like the curious cat within me is that I need to ask him to his face.
Let me tell you something. You are definitely white for that answer. You are definitely white because my black ass would have booked the ticket, contacted my Airbnb host, and got the fuck out of there.
You know, all my friends said the same thing. But I'm pretty fearless. I'm not gonna lie. I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy like mentally unwell crazy. I'm crazy like fearless crazy, and I do crazy shit. And that was one of them. And I still had about 2 weeks left in the Philippines. And then I'm talking to him like normal. And then all of a sudden, mid-conversation, it goes silent. And now messages are not even being delivered to him. And I'm like, this is weird, right? So now I'm thinking, I now know he has a wife. So I'm thinking, what if the wife knows? And what if I'm putting every scenario in my head and I'm thinking, right, the now wife was then the girlfriend when this girl dad was shot, right? So I'm like,
yeah,
if you know your man not only cheated on you and got another woman pregnant, but is now the main suspect in her murder, why would you still marry him? So I'm thinking, was it the wife? Did the wife put the hit on the woman? So now I'm thinking, now I'm more scared. I'm more scared of the wife. Yeah? Because I'm like, if it was wife the first time, what if wife now knows about me and now there's a hit on me?
It sounded like to me you was dealing with Joe from You. Crazy.
For the last 2 weeks I was in the Philippines, I slept with like a butcher's knife by my bed. And I remember sending a picture to my best friend and I said, I just want you to know that I sleep with this by my pillow. And she said, to be fair, what's that going to do when he's got assassins with silencers? So
you was ready.
You want to know what dating's like in the Philippines? Look, girls, if you're traveling solo and you do meet someone while you're traveling, Google their name, okay? Google their name, Google them on LinkedIn. Just do your background checks on these people because you never know.
Look at their ID first. Because the name might not even be the real name.
I mean, true.
I mean, but that's funny. That happened to that's you? Funny what you did.
It's funny now.
No, I'd say the closest thing that happened to me was my old girlfriend, like her parents, well, her whole family was like full of police. So like the mom did a background check on me because she worked at the prison. She did a background check. The dad was like some type of like chief of police. He did a background check on me for like three different counties and two states. Like the brother was a sheriff. Like, yeah, I'm clean. I mean, I'm good. But yeah, that's the close thing to that. But no, you was dealing with Joe, you know, from you.
Yeah, yeah. It's still so crazy to me now because I just never got that vibe from him. I feel like I studied psychology for 5 years. My master's is I studied criminals, right? So I feel like I'm very, very good usually at picking up on like someone who's off or someone that's, you know, and I never got that from him. I never got that. And that's why I think that's another reason why I think it might have been the wife.
Nah, it was him. He did it. A silencer? Yeah, hey, look, we going on an hour and a half. I just want to say thank you to everybody that listened to this podcast and the people that could withstand my voice because my nasal system is still messed up. Rachel, you got any final words?
No final words. Just, yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. There we go.
Goodbye.